Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. In the meantime, I know a lot of you are going to watch the Broncos game. Highly recommend you check out the home show this weekend at the Colorado Convention Center. And while you are there, and if you decide to go, make sure you say hello to my friend Tracy at Hot Tub Outlet in Denver. She's going to be selling hot tubs and saunas while she is out there. And as I've mentioned more than a few times, with supply chains breaking down, not a problem for Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton. And here's the reason why. They're loaded with hot tubs right now. What do I mean by that? They have 15 different models, two warehouses, and truckloads coming in every single month. Everybody else in town is waiting and waiting and waiting on hot tubs. If you want something, you need to go to Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton. It's really that simple. So if you were at the home show this weekend at the convention center, go talk to Tracy. She will totally hook you up, or you can find them in Littleton or go to hottuboutletdenver.com. Mace, I made my bet, by the way. I changed things around a little bit. I talked to the three wise men here in the studio, and I say three wise men because you're not here, and I would be referring literally to Nolan and Danny and Anilo. Would you like to know what I did?
Please do.
Okay. All right, so I gave the points. I took the Broncos and gave the points. I took Melvin Gordon 50 and a half yards or more. You like that?
I like that.
And I took Noah Fant receiving yards 47 and a half or higher.
Okay.
You like that? I like it better than a touchdown because you just never know. And I think the Broncos are going to move the ball.
I like them all. And I can't get past Jacksonville as a team giving up 31 points a game for the last season plus. I mean, that's where... You know, I think it's fair to expect some big things from this offense on Sunday, even with Jerry Jeudy on the shelf. There's still more than enough skill talent out there for Bridgewater to just find the open man. There's more than enough. There's more than enough punch up front, even without Graham Glasgow, likely for the Broncos to get some push going and have their line win at the line of scrimmage against the Jaguars front, which sets up the run. I think it's all in place for the Broncos offense to have a big day.
I mean, I put a lot of money on it. That was probably foolish. I put $2,000 on it, but I can win $10,000.
Well, there you go. I mean, there you go.
Shoot. Well, you're just not going to get paid this month if I lose. Is that cool?
We'd have to have a little conversation about that.
Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
Okay, Bradley Chubb listed as questionable for Sunday's game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Should the Broncos keep him out?
Yeah, they should.
I think so, too.
I don't mess with this. I mean... It's clear that progress is coming in fits and starts based on kind of what glimpses we had in practice to this point this week. If there's any doubt, there's no reason to risk it right now. I'd say the same thing next week as well.
Here.
Maybe that's what the Broncos need to think in terms of saying, all right, what will it take for Bradley Chubb to be ready by week four?
Okay, let me throw some.
Maybe even take him off the practice field next week.
Let me throw some at you. Let's say for the sake of our, and we're playing the what if game, and I know. Let's say the Broncos had lost to the Giants, and instead of Jacksonville on Sunday, it's the Chargers, and then next week it's the Browns. You feeling the same way?
But no.
You're not feeling the same way. Or you are feeling the same way.
I'm not feeling the same way.
No, you're putting Chubb on the field, aren't you?
Yes.
Some
guys say, like, oh, it's a, you know how players will sometimes say, well, if it were a playoff game, I would have played.
Right.
And that's kind of, and not, every game is equal in terms of the standings, but not every game is equal in terms of the necessity of playing. You do have to factor that in the equation. If you're talking about, like, if you had a divisional game this week, I think you'd feel differently, because as the cliche goes, divisional games count double.
Well, what if it was the Browns? What if it was the Cowboys? And this is why I'm bringing this up. When in the last time in 5 years have the Broncos actually had to think about this, because they've been so stinking bad, it's all hands on deck.
Yeah.
Now they're playing teams that aren't very good, and they do have depth. Judy's not going to play. Darby's not going to play. But you still have the luxury of enough depth, and you're playing a bad team. When in the last 5 years can you remember, honestly, where the Broncos have had the conversation, maybe we don't need to play him? Because every week you need to play everybody, because they've just been so rotten.
Yeah, that conversation hasn't existed.
Say it again?
That conversation hasn't existed until now.
No, and it's great that the conversation is actually happening right now. Which is kind of hard to believe, considering all the losing that has been going on here. But fortunately, listen, you'd rather have Darby on the field. You would rather have Judy on the field. You'd rather have Chubb on the field. But the truth is, when it comes to depth, and let's look at Glasgow. You got Muti. Is it really that big of a drop-off? Probably not. Not having Darby on the field, is it really that big of a drop-off having Surtain fill his position? Probably not. Is it really that big of a drop-off with Malik Reed? Probably a little bit more, but not huge. And what about Muti and Graham Glasgow? Is it really that big of a drop-off? Probably not.
The question then becomes, all right, if you rush someone back on there, what is the potential cost? So I think it's always good to be cautious, even in the early season, no matter what, but especially with the opposition at hand. Take advantage of what the current moment offers you, because hey, like right now, you're think about what the Broncos are dealing with at cornerback. Well, it's very helpful that right now they're in the stretch of games where they ought to be able to get by with what they have at corner now. In October, it's going to be different, and you've got to adapt, but we're not there right now.
All right, we haven't spent any time talking about Trevor Lawrence all week. What do you think he does?
We did earlier this show, though.
Not with any great detail, so we're going to spend the next 30 seconds on him right now before we have to hit a break. Okay, maybe we'll give him a minute. Yeah. What do you expect him to do? What do you expect him, honestly, to do in this game? He showed flashes in the game against Houston, but Houston is not very good.
And and certainly the touchdowns were in the second half when things were out of hand. So
prevent defense.
He had some good throws early, but they weren't difference making throws early. So you look at his stat, you look at the stat line and you say, oh, well, he had three interceptions, but he also had three touchdowns. And so for a rookie, you're like, okay, that's fine, but the touchdowns were, the touchdowns with two of the three were inconsequential. Two of them came in the second half when they were already down 34-7. So the other thing with Trevor Lawrence is like a lot of young quarterbacks didn't do as well under pressure as you would like him to do. Now the interesting thing about how the Texans played Lawrence and what Lawrence did, we've talked about the threat that he poses with his legs, and how if you're talking about an upset threat for the Jaguars, it's chaos plays where he gets outside the pocket, where receivers break off their routes, and where he's able to take off and get some yardage with his legs. But he had only one rushing attempt last week for a loss of 2 yards. Now, I get that Jacksonville probably wants to protect its investment and wants to be careful, but at the same time, part of the success equation for Trevor Lawrence is what he does with his legs, forcing the defense to account for that and sacrifice some attention in coverage. So will the Jaguars correct that this Sunday? If they don't, I think it's going to be more of the same for Trevor Lawrence.
Right. All right, so the Broncos game isn't the only game going on Sunday. We're going to give our bold predictions for all the other games that are going on Sunday and on Monday. Everyone might not feel this way. That's why we call them bold predictions. That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, you need to go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or find them online at rmfp.com. I mean, seriously, if you're going to do a big project, whether it's a deck or a fence or something like that, there is no reason to go to a big box store. I'll tell you, first of all, the quality is not going to be as good, but the price is nowhere near going to be as good. Rocky Mountain Forest Products, their stuff is in Empower Field and Coors Field, the Stanley Hotel. Great stuff, great prices. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
Okay, so we are heading into officially the second full week of the NFL season. Let's give some bold predictions on what we think is going to happen, because certainly there were some major surprises in week one. What kind of surprises, or what do you think will happen week two? We can just alternate back and forth if you would like.
Well, I don't know that this is incredibly bold, but I think we're going to see the biggest blowout of the season so far in Tampa Bay hosting Atlanta down here in Tampa in week two. I think the Bucs are going to win that one by at least 30.
Okay. Well, I'm going to top you. I think we're going to see a bigger blowout when Aaron Rodgers tosses four touchdown passes
against Detroit.
Yes. Yes.
Monday night.
Yes. Yes. I think that is going to be a bludgeoning. And if it is not, then you can really look at Green Bay and say, something might be going on here. Now, I'm probably referring to a loss as much as anything else, but if for some reason they do struggle, you really will have to start looking at the Packers and Aaron Rodgers and say, you know, maybe the music is starting to play and the dance is the music is starting to end and the dance is almost over.
All right. Another bold prediction. Patriots at Jets. By some distance, the best rookie quarterback in that game is going to be Mac Jones.
Say it again?
By some distance, the best rookie QB in Patriots Jets will be Mac Jones.
I love you. That's there's nothing bold about that. First of all, the Patriots are a better team.
Well, I'm not talking about the team. I'm talking about who's the better quarterback, who has the better game at quarterback. Mac Jones.
But he's with a better team. Mac Jones was the best rookie quarterback in week one. Wasn't he?
Yeah, you could say that. But Zach Wilson played really well in the second half of Carolina. So
true.
Of the loss of Carolina. So you could say that Zach Wilson was figuring things out. But I think Mac Jones is going to have a very good game. The Patriots are going to win that one.
Okay. Let's see. Vegas ran it up offensively against the Baltimore Ravens, known for having a really good defense, although I know they're shorthanded with Marcus Peters. They are going to go on the road to Pittsburgh, right? And they will be fortunate to score 20 points.
I won't even say they get there. I think they score 14.
Yeah, fortunate. The key word is fortunate to score 20 points. Because
Pittsburgh's going to have a lot of games like this year too, where they're going to limit an opponent. But I don't know that Pittsburgh has enough firepower even against the Raiders to put up a big number. This could be a 23-14 type of game here.
Okay. All right. What do you got next?
All right. Next, Justin Fields will take over for Andy Dalton at some point someday.
Good. Good call, because that's where I was going to go next, but I'm going to up the ante, and the Bengals win.
Yeah, the Bengals will win because they will have
a big enough lead,
to where Soldier Field becomes openly hostile until they throw Justin Fields out there, probably at some point in the second half. By the way. The concerns about Jamar Chase from the preseason, you know, he dropped some passes, and there was the whole thing about how he was complaining that the ball wasn't painted, that he misses the white lines that you have on the football in college. Turned out Jamar Chase is just fine. Jamar Chase had over 100 yards last week. Joe Burrow and Chase together look just like they did at LSU, completely on the same page. And I think Chase has a big, big year. And I remember you many, many months ago reminding everybody after the 2020 draft that was filled with receivers that Jamar Chase was actually a better prospect than anyone in the 2020 class. And we're going to see that over the course.
Yeah, but that wasn't a stretch. And I'll tell you why, because you probably believe the same thing.
I was giving credit to you. Come on.
I know. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. He was the best wide receiver of both draft classes.
And now he has the advantage of getting a leg up because he's working with somebody who already knows his rhythms and timing, and they already have chemistry. I mean, I still think the Bengals probably need to focus a bit more on protecting Joe Burrow. But that being said, the other defensible pick for them, if they didn't go O-line, was giving Burrow the receiver that he trusts the most, and that will basically ensure that Jamar Chase's rookie season looks much, much better than almost any rookie receiver we've seen.
I want to go back to the possibility of when Justin Fields gets on the field, and let's say it is against the Bengals. Does this Broncos season get even more exciting when Justin Fields hits the field? Because now we have a point of reference. Because a lot of people wanted the Broncos to draft Justin Fields. Right. I don't care if Mac Jones goes into the Hall of Fame. No one in Denver will say, and no one certainly has the right to say, the Broncos passed on Mac Jones. Anybody in Denver says the Broncos passed on Mac Jones might as well say the Broncos passed on Tom Brady, or the Broncos passed on Joe Montana, or the Broncos passed on Brett Favre. Mac Jones was not even in the conversation, but Justin Fields, that is different, because Justin Fields and George Payton, at least in the minds of Broncos fans, will forever be tied. And it is also something between you and I, because you love Justin Fields. If I am not mistaken, he was your second favorite quarterback in this draft, if not the third for sure. But was he your second favorite quarterback?
Yeah, he just a notch over Trey Lance because of his experience.
Okay. And I'm not a big Justin Fields guy, so that's something that you and I will go back and forth on. I have an inkling I will likely be wrong, but the only thing in my favor is the Bears' offense stinks.
Yeah,
and their offensive line stinks.
And the thing that will matter here, and in discussing these quarterbacks in the coming years, is that Mac Jones and Trey Lance found themselves in much more favorable scenario.
Yeah,
coaching wise, schematically, fan base expectations than Justin Fields is in Chicago. I mean, big things are expected of Mac Jones and Trey Lance, no doubt.
Right.
In Chicago, the expectation of Bears fans is that Justin Fields is a savior.
Right.
And that is a lot of pressure from one of the league's most devoted fan bases, no doubt, that Bears country or whatever it is, Bears Nation, is incredibly rabid and incredibly loyal, and also incredibly frustrated at not having had a real high-level quarterback since Sid Luckman, which was 70 years ago.
Very rarely does a guy get taken in the top five at the quarterback position and have the good fortune of going to a very good team. It's only going to happen if there's a trade-up, or it's only going to happen if the team that was really good is in the top five and made a trade probably the previous year for a pick, and it happens to be in the top five. Let's remember, the Kansas City Chiefs were a pretty good football team when they traded up to get Patrick Mahomes, right?
Right.
They were a pretty good football team.
They were already a perennial winning team playoff. They'd had four straight winning seasons under Andy Reid at the point they made that deal. And, you know, obviously things have gone sideways with Deshaun Watson. But Houston, when they drafted Deshaun Watson, I believe they'd had three consecutive winning seasons before they drafted him.
Right. So it doesn't happen very – I mean, when you look at the top two picks in the draft, Jacksonville and the Jets, just awful. But
right.
Trey Lance, he went to San Francisco. San Francisco wasn't very good the previous season, but they were – just good enough to be in striking distance to get that third overall pick in the draft.
Right, and Zach Wilson going to the Jets, disadvantage going to a franchise that has been fairly inept for a long time. Advantage is going to a franchise where they have the same kind of scheme and intellectual capacity and consistency as the 49ers can do. So it's set up for him to succeed. There's a playbook there they're following that does work for quarterbacks. And so that, I think, gives Zach Wilson a very good shot. The Bears, on the other hand, there's a lot there that could hold back Justin Fields, including just the crushing expectations of Chicago fans.
Okay, one more prediction. Matthew Stafford, only three times in his career is he had at least three TDs, and no interceptions in back-to-back games. Happened only three times in his career. Once in 2011, twice in 2016, and it will be four times on Sunday when they play the Colts.
Yeah, and my last one, Lamar Jackson will continue to be befuddled and bedeviled by the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs will go into Baltimore, win. Baltimore will be 0-2.
All right, coming up after the break, what scares you about the Jacksonville Jaguars? Anything? Who's going to be the leading rusher? Who's going to be the leading pass catcher for the Broncos? Does Vaughn get another pair of sacks? Who wins? What's the score? That's coming up next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public for your next project. Not retail, but wholesale. Go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Impact Real Estate. Impact Real Estate is creative real estate and solutions with the greatest impact. Go to impactcommercial.co.
Okay, by the way, before we get into the Broncos, did you watch the end of the Giants game last night against the Washington football team?
Yes.
Okay, this coming from Lawrence Tynes. Does that name ring a bell?
Yes, no. Former Buccaneer kicker.
Okay, so he just put out on Twitter, just confirmed with a Giant source that Dexter Lawrence was not offsides, according to the coach's film. The referees missed it, and the Giants will get the obligatory phone call from the head of officials saying, sorry, we missed it.
And I think that the NFL has already put out there that after review that the offsides was judged to be correct.
Was judged to be correct?
Yes.
That was not. He moved right with the snap. I saw close above it in slow motion.
I'm just telling you what the league said.
The league's wrong. The league is wrong. I'm not talking about the game telecast. I saw a separate clip where right when the ball moved, he moved. It was as clear as day. And I don't have a horse in the race. And I don't believe that one play costs you a game, because I don't. Yeah. You know, yes. The Giants had other opportunities, but because that one play was a missed call, that did cost him the game.
Right. I mean, and this is the report from Mark Maskey of the Washington Post, that the NFL believes the offsides was correct. According to a source quote, he was offside, said, quote, two separate officials called it at the same time, unquote, and accuracy of the call has been supported by video evidence, according to the NFL.
What would happen if they said we missed the call? You can make the case you have to hand the win to the Giants, don't you?
Yeah, but that's not how it works.
I know it doesn't work that way.
It's too bad, so sad, but...
That's a shame. That really is a shame. Anyway, let's get into the Broncos game. Anything really concern you going into this game?
The only thing that concerns you is if you let Trevor Lawrence get comfortable and get hot, and he's able to use the arm that he has to spray the ball all over the field and force you to account for everything sideline to sideline. And then 40 or 50 yards downfield, a lot more area to cover. That's how gaps open up in the zone. But that requires Lawrence getting comfortable, and that's where your pass rush comes in to ideally make things uncomfortable for him. So that's what you worry about. But if the pass rush does what it did last week, a good interior push from Draymond Jones, who I think after not having a sack last week will have a sack against his old college coach Urban Meyer on Sunday in Jacksonville. They do that, then Lawrence won't get comfortable enough to be able to make the kind of high-level throws that would give the Jaguars a chance of an upset. How about you?
It's really just letting him get loose. He gets out of the pocket and he just starts running. He has a Daniel Jones running type of game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what would concern me as much as anything else, where they're like cheap yards. And they shouldn't be cheap yards. Listen, they know they have to contain this kid.
Yes.
Right. I mean, he doesn't run like Lamar Jackson, but he runs well enough.
Right.
Pat Shurmur was asked about the number of carries each of the top two running backs are going to get. He goes, it's going to be 50-50. It was 50-50. So we'll probably be having this conversation every week. Who do you think leads the team in rushing against a run defense in Jacksonville that is nothing short of putrid?
Yeah, I think slight edge to Melvin Gordon, slight. But I think in the heat and humidity of Jacksonville, it's a sort of a different concern than when you're playing at elevation in Denver. But you've trained in elevation. You have to adjust to the kind of muggy conditions that you're going to see, and that I think is going to play its way into having these two guys split the reps again. And just Javonte Williams looked good. Slight edge to Melvin Gordon, because right now Gordon looks like he has a bit more breakaway capability than Javonte Williams does.
Okay, I agree with you on that. And as I told you, I bet on the game, did a three-leg parlay, and I bet on Melvin Gordon to have over 50.5 yards. Who leads the team in receiving?
Leader in receiving will be Noah Fant.
Ooh, that was another part of my parlay.
Yeah, I know. I know. And I think Tim Patrick gets a touchdown. I wouldn't be surprised if Fant gets a touchdown as well. But I do think that over the next few games, we're going to see, as far as receptions go, Noah Fant emerges the wide receiver one.
Yeah.
But I'm going to throw this at you, though. Do you think KJ Hamler gets a chance to make a big play like he did last week? And do you think he delivers on that chance?
I have three words to answer that.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I think Bridgewater wants the big play. He likes Hamler. He wanted to be essentially locker mates with Hamler, and he will always be looking downfield to see how open he is. Hopefully, Hamler hangs on to the ball this time.
Yeah,
I think we're going to see that. I'm not saying once a game, but over the course of 17 games, you're going to see it at least 10 times.
Well, and the thing is, if this offense is going to work, there has to be some vertical threat. And with Courtland Sutton still not 100% there, Right now, the biggest vertical threat is KJ Hamler, and for that to be taken seriously, it's got to deliver. And if you can get one explosive vertical play out of Bridgewater to Hamler, it doesn't have to be a touchdown. It can be you know, a 40-yard gain that flips the field. But if you do that, then that's going to alter how teams play you, and it's going to open up even more things underneath for Teddy Bridgewater to operate and keep the line moving with those short to intermediate passes. So you get one of those, it's going to open things up and make things even better for Teddy.
We both believe the Broncos are going to win. What do you believe the score will be?
I'm going with 31-17. You?
Ooh, see, I was thinking 31-17.
Well, you can use it. I'm not stopping you.
I know you're not.
Great minds, right?
Nor would you stop me. I will go 27-13.
Okay. All right. So you're on the under, and I'm on the over. See, that's a pretty good line of demarcation right there.
There
right?
You go.
I mean, one of us is going to be wrong. One of us is going to be right.
It usually works out that way when we pick differently, doesn't it?
Unless it's a push, but
Yeah. What do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
A bunch of NFL talk today, but before we get to Sunday, we've got a full day tomorrow of college football. We'll take a look at some of the local teams and some of the ranked matchups as well on the other side, right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, Minnesota at Colorado from Folsom Field tomorrow at 11 a.m. Mountain Time. A nice early game for CU. The Buffaloes, 2.5-point home favorites over the Golden Gophers, and the total at 48.5 points. Who wins the game, and do you like it to be an offensive battle or a little more like last week against A&M and have the defense keeping it low scoring?
Well, you look at Minnesota, I mean, it's obviously two different teams against Ohio State, Miami of Ohio. They put up exactly 31 points in each game, and they're not throwing a young quarterback out there the way A&M did last week, so I don't expect the game to feel like the one last week. That being said, I like the Buffs' chances in this game. Getting the Gophers at home, I don't like the 11 a.m. start time. I never like a morning local time kickoff. It's kind of the bane of the existence in the Big Ten, for example, but I like the Buffs to win this one. I think the Buffs offense does a lot better against a considerably weaker Gopher defense. Give me Buffs 27, Gophers 21.
I'm not sold on the Buffs offense at all. I was not impressed in the Northern Colorado game. Certainly was not impressed in the Texas A&M game. I think when you look at Minnesota and CU, two equal teams in terms of overall rosters, where they are, we're about to find out just how good Colorado is. Mm-hmm. Defensively, I think they're terrific. But again, we're about to find out how good they are. What they do in this game, this is who I think they are for the season.
Yeah. And then you go into conference play right after this. So, you know, here's a chance. If you win this one at home and then you lost close to A&M, you beat Minnesota, then that looks like a team that in the Pac-12 will hang around and contend.
Just in case you missed it, the CSU Rams at Toledo Rockets on Saturday. The Rockets, 14.5-point favorites, as CSU is going in there 0-2. A very uninspired start to the season, losing to an FCS team. How hot is head coach Steve Adazio's seat if or when they lose?
It's hot, but what's the buyout on Steve Adazio's contract? Do you know, Eric? Yeah. And that's what matters here is Adazio can be struggling. Okay, I'm looking at it right now. Just found it. $5 million buyout.
Yeah.
In 2021. If he is terminated without cause, and you know, if you're fired just because the team is losing, that's considered without cause. Can CU afford to take that on? And maybe the thought could be if CSU, but maybe the thought should be can CSU not afford that? And oh, by the way, you're facing a Toledo team that just went into South Bend,
yep,
and pushed Notre Dame to the absolute limit. You can argue that Toledo is far better than the teams that CSU has played in the first 2 weeks, South Dakota State and Vanderbilt. This could be the ugliest game of the year for CSU. This probably gets worse before it gets better. What do you think?
I am literally cleaning out my FanDuel account betting on this game.
Yeah?
No, I'm not kidding.
Betting on Toledo.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I will gladly give up the points on this one.
Yeah.
No, I'm literally online right now, and I am betting it all.
14.5, right, on this game?
Oh yeah, I am betting it all. I'm pushing all my chips in right now, as we speak. That's it. You're right. I'm looking at what they did. They beat Norfolk State, which obviously is Norfolk State. But they beat them 49-10, so you're thinking, well, you know, how good could they be? Then they go to Notre Dame, to your point, and give them a game. Oh, my God. Colorado State will be lucky to be within 4 touchdowns. And I'm sorry that they are on our air, and we are one of the flagship stations. I get it. But it's about money for me right now. Sorry.
I mean, the thing that could come into play is what if it's kind of a big letdown for Toledo coming back home after coming oh so close against Notre Dame. But I think it's more likely that they emerge from that realizing just how good they are and will certainly have a lot of confidence against a CSU team that when they last played 2 years ago, Toledo came in to Canvas Stadium and beat the Rams 41-35 a couple of Septembers ago.
Yeah, I can't even find them on here. I hope they are. I'd be very excited to be able to bet on this game.
Just in case you missed it, College Football Week 3, some of the ranked matchups we're going to see tomorrow. Number 1, Alabama going to the Swamp, taking on number 11, Florida. Number 22, Auburn at Penn State in Happy Valley. And number 19, ASU at number 23, BYU. Any of those games stick out to you guys or any other games that you have your eye on for tomorrow in the college ranks?
We'll start with Alabama, Florida, because it's been a long time since the Crimson Tide went to Gainesville to play. It's just sort of the nature of divisional scheduling in a big conference. The weird thing, Eric, I was thinking about this, is that Alabama, Florida regular season games have become rare.
Yeah.
But you add Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC and you reshuffle, and all of us, and that's going to go back to being an annual game.
Right.
Because Alabama and Florida will probably both be in an Eastern Division.
Well, I'm keeping my eye on Indiana and Cincinnati.
Yeah, ooh, Desmond Ridder going to Bloomington.
Yep. So we'll see. By the way, I can't find
your
this.
Your guy Penix is not off to a good start this year.
No.
Either.
By the way, I can't find this Colorado State game. Are they trying to keep me out of here? What's going on? I don't think this game's on the board.
They might not want to take a bath on that one, knowing that Toledo's going to run their train.
This game on FanDuel, it's not on the board.
Okay, I am looking at one site that does have it on the board, A. And B, the funny thing is, last night on ESPN, Scott Van Pelt actually picked the Rams.
Looking at
that 14.5-point number, pick CSU. And I thought that was interesting, and I thought, has he watched CSU play this year? Did he see that game? against Vanderbilt. Another intriguing game this weekend, since Danny kind of brought up games, games that kind of jump out. I'm mildly fascinated with South Carolina, Georgia. That's coming up on Saturday night. And then, Iowa State, a lot thought of them going into the season. They lose at home to Iowa. Can they get that bounce back going against UNLV in a late game tomorrow night? That'll be an interesting one to watch.
Just in case you missed it, announced last night during Thursday Night Football, the Colts will be the first team to appear on an in-season Hard Knocks series. Do you think that this is a good idea, and do you think that they picked the right team in the Indianapolis Colts?
This is fascinating because the NFL and NFL Films have done the All or Nothing series on Amazon Prime. But that was always released much later. That was focusing on the regular season. So now you're going to have a regular season series, but it being released along with that season as it goes on. I mean, what do they do to kind of make sure that some cult secrets don't get out?
Everybody in the NFL loves it except for people involved with the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, and they
don't want this type of access. Are you kidding me?
Ugh. Well, the coaches and players probably don't. You know, the guy who probably does is the guy who owns the team, Jim Irsay.
Sure.
And when I saw that they were on there, you know, Jim Irsay, he's got a fairly robust social media presence. I thought this is entirely a Jim Irsay call.
Yeah.
And probably doing it, Eric, so the team has some relevancy and juice that it hasn't happened since Andrew Luck walked out the door. They've been kind of a national afterthought, even though they had a good playoff season last year. Philip Rivers, he's trying to move the needle for his club a little bit, get it back to a prominent place that it hasn't been in some time.
All right, that was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, it is still hail season, so if your roof gets damaged by hail, my suggestion is go with the best out there. Masterpiece Roofing recently voted Denver's best roofing company, and they're going to get your insurance company to pay for your roof. They specialize in that stuff. You need someone to team up with to fight those insurance companies, go with Masterpiece Roofing. Find them at MasterpieceRoofing.com. Nolan and Danny, great job today. Mace, terrific job from Florida. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Broncos, Jags, and I will see you back in studio on Monday. Is that right? You'll be back in studio Monday?
Back in studio Monday. Sweet. Can't wait to talk about that. And Broncos hoping to be 2-0 for the first time since 2018.
Make it the best possible weekend you can. Like I should. When in Durka walk around the neighborhood, feeling blessed, never stressed. Got that sunshine on my Sunday best. Hey, some days you wake up and nothing works, you feel surrounded. Gotta give your feet some ground.